Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Coffee and KO show, and it's another recap show. Recapping just a bunch of stuff, but holy shit, today was just one of those days where, you know, you're sitting here and you're expecting something big to happen, and just, it was a big day in the combat sports world, at least it was supposed to be. We had you know, Whitaker fighting, and it, you know, obviously a lot of people think it's already bullshit that he's fighting because he should already be fighting for the belt. Then you had the Ben Askren, Jake Paul shit happening today. And that, I mean, I kind of already knew how it was going to go, but people in the MMA community holding out hope for Ben Askren, well, there was just no hope there. And he got fucking starched in, I don't even know how long it lasted, but it wasn't long.
Under a minute.
So, yeah, fellas, we're back. I'm in studio. My family beat the Roni, and I'm here. But, hell of a night. That's all I have to say. And not in a good way. Not in a good way.
I loved it. I loved it. That was cancer at its finest. I mean, good God, that was amazing. You know, I'm here for the memes. I'm here for the destruction of boxing. I mean, honestly, I think we witnessed like one of the funerals of boxing today. That was a Triller concert. With some boxing in between and after, like that.
I thought it was the MTV Music Awards,
dude. They put zero effort into any sort of like boxing style. Like I guess they paid the commentators, but really that was more about like, okay, we're Triller, and we have our names attached to Doja Cat and Justin Bieber, and then also Jake Paul's going to knock someone out, so you can watch fights like that if you want to watch. That shit was atrocious. Like, I mean, atrocious. Boxing's got to a point where
if you buy it,
top. You know, yeah, for real. Boxing's got to a point where top-ranked world champion-level fighters are fighting underneath YouTubers on undercards. That's what we're talking about. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you had a UFC fight where you got a clear number one contender in a division, and both of those guys would absolutely wash Jake Paul in an actual boxing match before everybody comes in here and is just like, Ben Askren is a UFC fighter, and he got knocked out by Jake Paul when UFC fighters couldn't do it. Save me. Spare me.
If you bought it, was it worth it? The 50, you think?
No.
Did anyone actually buy it?
No. Use the streaming service. I would. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was awful. Freaking, yeah. Ben Askren looked awful. He showed up there looking like me, basically. Same body type. You know, exactly what we were thinking about. Then you had Oscar De La Hoya. What the hell was going on there?
Coked out.
And then at one point he was talking about who's the dude that Frank Mir fought. He's talking about his body. He's like, he looks great. Talking about his body. Super weird. But then we move over to UFC, and this is what's crazy. Jake Paul made $700K tonight.
Plus pay-per-view.
Robert Whittaker closed at $210,000. And it's just like you, I mean, we saw, I know Aaron didn't see it, but us three saw the differences.
Did you boycott it, Aaron?
It's not a boycott. Like, I genuinely don't, I like watching good fights, and and what we watched with Whittaker was fantastic.
It was.
I don't care about talking about whatever Paul it was. Like, I genuinely don't know which Paul it is. I have actively not tried to learn about this, and I don't care. Like, move on. Like, if I would have bet on it, I would have been mildly interested. Uh-huh. Everybody who says they knew should have bet since it was -175. So everybody wasted their free money. I don't want to really hear about them knowing about it. I don't care about this. It's not a real fight. Like, I don't care.
You know the ways to work around the streaming services now, too, is they had it listed as – Jack Paul versus Jack Ben Askren. So whoever's trying to whoever's trying to get around the streaming services, you just got to change the name up a little bit and you're fine.
I'll tell you what, though. Frank Mir actually didn't look bad.
He did not look bad. And he also made hundreds of thousands of dollars. So again, this is just, it's justifying. This is sports entertainment, I guess. It's like those Minion movies that make a bunch of money, so they keep making more of them. This is a really shitty sports entertainment. If you chose to watch it over Robert Whittaker, I don't want to really talk about it. I don't know.
Ben Askren is the perfect person for this to happen to. He's been a meme now for how long? He's been a meme since he's gotten knocked out by George Masvidal. So all this was he's just going to be memeable again, which Ben Askren does not give a shit.
We are at
and he just
now?
Made how much money? So he doesn't care.
500K. He made $500,000. And we're at the point now where Ben Askren is more well known for getting his ass whooped in spectacular fashion than anything good that he's done in his career. If you ask, who's Ben Askren? The dude that got knocked out by Jake Paul, or the dude that got kneed in the face quick? He's got to have the most embarrassing combat sports career of all time. Yeah. Especially at this point, it's easily pound for pound.
There's a lot more embarrassing sports careers.
Not even close. Quickest knockout in UFC history. No one has gone more viral for losing.
Olympic wrestling alternate, multiple MMA. This is just
nobody care about that shit.
Of all time. Do you realize there's been worse athletes? This is just stupid shit.
No. I understand. I'm not saying he's the worst.
You're saying of all time. You're saying of all
he
athletes.
Is of all time.
No, you're wrong.
No one else has gotten more views for their losses.
No one else has gotten more views for their losses. This is dumb shit. I'm seriously about to leave this shit. This is who the fuck is this guy?
Of all athletes.
No, you're being wrong. I'm saying of all time, no one, he's the worst athlete. Got it.
I didn't say he's the worst athlete. I said he has the most embarrassing losses. Okay. He does.
I would say he has the most memorable. He definitely has the most memorable.
Look up Bob Sapp. Look up other people.
Those aren't on the same level as far as popularity is concerned for those losses.
As far as popularity,
I would also say that the time of the era that we're in as well, though, with all the social media, that makes it that much more known as well.
Exactly.
Back when Bob Sapp lost, there wasn't Twitter, there wasn't Instagram.
The internet makes things a bigger deal than that memes make.
I'm not saying Ben Askren's a bad fighter by any stretch of the imagination. I'm saying
he's the worst
as far as fighters losing on in spectacular fashion on a grand stage, he's definitely number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anyone else has gotten more views for their losses than Ben Askren, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying Ben Askren's bad.
He's an Olympic
caliber wrestler.
I could care less about this subject, but you guys can talk about it.
Okay.
people are watching, tonight.
I mean, at the end of the day, Ben Askren made money, and more money than he would have made in a UFC fight, so hats off to him.
Dude,
he was smiling.
He was smiling. I mean, honestly, and that's the other thing, too. Ben Askren doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't give a fuck what a bunch of teenagers say about him. He just made $500,000 for 66 seconds of fighting. He won. He won, in my opinion. He won. A lot of people might pay him to watch him get fucked up again.
I would contemplate taking $500,000 to wear a punch by Jake Paul and fall to the ground. I would definitely contemplate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would too. I think, Carrie, you taking that one?
Everybody on here is taking that.
Honestly, how hard can a YouTuber hit?
I mean, he looks like he hits kind of hard, but
he hits fucking hard. I mean, he can box, dude. He can box.
But so we'll move on to UFC now. So we got our Jake Paul, Ben Askren stuff in. Robert Whittaker puts on another good performance. I was saying this before. I think it's bullshit he even had a fight to basically secure his shot at Izzy. I felt like based on his last two performances, I don't think he personally needed to fight again. Based on the state of that division, there was really no one else really threatening Izzy, in my opinion. So other than maybe Marvin Vettori, So I think, in my opinion, I didn't think Whittaker really even had a fight, but he goes out, puts on a clinic against Gastelum. I say hats off to Gastelum. I don't think he looked god awful. And for five rounds, I thought that his stamina held up. He threw exchanges back. But at the end of the day, Robert Whittaker, you know, Izzy's number one right now. Robert Whittaker is just as close as you can get to that. And, you know, I think that he poses a really big threat to Izzy, you know, especially if he can utilize, he's not going to go in that's going to try to take Izzy down 10 times, but he's super smart with the way that he fights and setting up those takedowns, especially you saw it in the fifth round against Gastelum. They stay striking, and then all of a sudden, just a quick level change gets the takedown. If he can fight like that against Izzy, it's going to be tough for Izzy, you know. So, I mean, Izzy has shown been able to get up and stuff takedowns at the lower weight class, but, you know, we'll see. I really like Robert Whittaker. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch. And I think a lot of us can appreciate him. Only 30 years old. What he's done in the UFC has already been remarkable. So Robert Whittaker, he was about the, probably for me, the biggest bright spot on the whole entire card. That fight was a really good fight.
It was a great fight.
All of the other fights, boxing and MMA were all, except the Frank Mir fight was pretty good. All the other ones, Frank Mir shit. It was all right.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think Robert Whittaker's been, it's been 1A, 1B in the middleweight division ever since he lost his belt. Like you said, he came back from a very long layoff when he lost that fight to Israel Adesanya. I mean, this rematch is setting up to be spectacular. I mean, I can't wait to see it, to be honest with you. I know Marvin Vettori is going to think that he deserves the title shot. He doesn't at all. I think he should fight Derek Brunson next, and they should just have the battle to see whoever, mm-hmm. I mean, have the more impressive victory over Kevin Holland, I guess. But, yeah, it's Robert Whittaker's contendership, if you will. He looked impressive. I mean, he looked insane. The takedowns, I mean, something that you really – you know he has them in his repertoire, but he hasn't really shown them as much. And with that performance, I mean, I think he provides a lot of issues for Izzy. A lot of issues for Izzy. So that's something I'm interested to see.
I think what sucks thinking about it is, you know, Whitaker's already a guy that I feel is not – hasn't been the most marketed guy in the UFC, even as a champ. I feel like he was one of the more underrated champs. He's one of the more underrated fighters in the UFC. And then today, like today was – if he was going to fight again, today was the perfect day, a perfect fight to showcase his talents. And no one was talking about this card because of the Triller card. So like, I'm looking at Twitter and there's just nothing on Twitter about, man, Robert Whittaker looked great. Aside from like MMA analysts, guys that do it for a living, you know, Ariel Helwani, all those guys. But other than that, like there's no just MMA fans like us that are tweeting about, oh man, Robert Whittaker looked great. It was, holy shit, Funky Ben Askren just got his head knocked off.
The number one draw in boxing fought tonight, you know?
Yeah. So Jake Paul
is the number one draw in boxing right now.
I feel like this would have been a perfect night to kind of have, you know, if there wasn't boxing, everyone's watching Robert Whittaker fight Kelvin Gastelum and put on a masterful performance. Instead, no one watched it because they're too busy watching That's MTV kind of Music Awards.
Rob likes that. I feel like Rob doesn't care if you watch him or if you don't watch him. He's going to be the best in the world. He would have beaten Paulo Costa tonight. Would he have beaten? I don't know, but it's just definitely the fight to make.
That's the only one where you have a question at this point. I mean, at this point, he's wiped. Izzy has beaten everybody else in the top 10, and Robert Whittaker's beaten everybody that Izzy hasn't beat. You know? It's the fight to make. It should be what's next. But as far as the viewership is concerned, Robert Whittaker is not, he's not a company friendly type of guy. You know,
cutting promos.
Yeah, and anyone not cutting promos, anyone not named Colby Covington, Jorge Masvidal, Conor McGregor was going to get outshined tonight. And that's just what it was. I don't think that has anything to do with him. I think that's just the type of fighter that he is, and then also the situation that we're in, where you have a dying sport that's being carried by celebrities and YouTubers having to fight damn near 40-year-old retired men for popularity versus top contenders. But at the same time, Robert Whittaker, has he ever put on a non-exciting fight?
No. I mean,
never. Never. No, but at the same time, he doesn't cut promos well. He's not a flashy type guy. He's not going to go out there and talk a bunch of shit. He's just going to do all his talking with his hands. That's just what you're going to get out of him. I mean, it's the same way with a lot of fighters, though, too. I mean, Alexander Volkanovsky is pretty, I wouldn't say the most entertaining, but he's super duper high level, technical. He's the champion of the world, but yet nobody's really talking about him. It's just what it is, especially in that market, Australia. It's hard to really connect over here.
Aaron, we're done talking about Ben Askren. You could go.
I'm still bring it up. I'm sorry. I'm still.
No, I don't care. I just don't care. The thing I care most about is making it clear how much I don't care about that.
I got you.
Other than that, and it's for reasons like this, because even if nothing else was going on, Robert Whittaker wasn't going to be trending after this performance with the general internet, because the internet doesn't understand a good decision. They don't understand what 150 significant strikes to 60 significant strikes means, all the stuff, takedowns, all the it's part of the sport. Like, Robert Whittaker is very technical, but he's also very exciting for sure. 50-45, there's no doubt. And he kind of shut out everybody else. Unfortunately, he's got to wait a little while. But I do think that it was important for him to take this fight. Like, he did deserve the number one contendership either way, but he had to stay active until Izzy's ready to fight again at the end of the year. So Izzy didn't want the fight, which is always a good indication from a rematch. A rematch needs to happen. When the rematch winner doesn't want the fight again, and it's like everybody else thinks it should happen, that means it really should happen.
Dana says that Whittaker didn't want the rematch, and he's fought in fucking Cannoneer, Till, and Gastelum. It's like, what are you talking about?
He's going to say that because he knows that Whittaker's not going to come out and say, I didn't say that. Whittaker's just going to be like, whatever. Like, I'm not going to fall out. Whittaker, he doesn't have this crazy – he doesn't look like he's a crazy fighter. Just looks like a regular guy. He'll probably go into the Izzy fight, though. I think it'll be a pretty close odds, because I think Izzy, people are pretty shot on Izzy now after what happened against Jan. Now everybody thinks that the blueprint's been written. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. But I would be leaning Robert Whittaker if I were to pick today.
Okay.
I'm an Izzy fan, and I'm leaning Robert Whittaker right now. And I think Robert Whittaker's cut from that same cloth as like Max Holloway, where it's just like, if I believe I'm the best in the world, why would I shy away from any of these contenders? Because I'm going to have to fight them anyway when I'm the champion.
Because honestly, I think, but it's interesting, because with Robert Whittaker, a lot of times you see guys who are like really good, and you're like, oh, but if they get against someone who can put them on their back, like, that's going to be a problem. Like, that's Robert Whittaker has the best takedown defense and get up in the division, probably. So it's like, these grapplers, they can't rely on that. So Gastelum tonight had to be solely a boxer, because he got less takedowns than Whittaker got. It's like, Whittaker doesn't get taken down by anybody. It's like, in two fights with Yoel Romero, Yoel Romero shot 38 takedowns and I think got like six of them and had a total of like 2 minutes of control time in those. So it's like, Yoel Romero, Cuban wrestling super freak who never used it, finally did against Whittaker, and it didn't work. Like, he's not doing it against Whittaker, no one is. Those fights were crazy. And just tonight, it's like, you could like hardly be watching the fight and you knew what was going down. I mean, Whittaker just completely cruised. I mean, it was just, he did whatever he wanted. His head kicks looked better than ever too. I mean, they're getting like, he's kicking him to the arms and rocking people. Like, that's when you know someone's kicking hard.
Yeah.
He made Gastelum bleed out of his ear hole.
Yeah, he did make him. Yeah, he did.
He always bleeds too, though. Like, when
Gastelum, who looks like the most other UFC MMA fighters in the world. All the, like, I follow a bunch of MMA fighters who happen to look like Gastelum. So every time Gastelum fights, they'll be like, good luck, twin. And so, like, after this fight, there's like seven different, fighters like Jose Shorty Torres who are like crying right now.
Looks like
Nazareth Hackvaras is upset right now. Like a few others. It's like, that dude just
He doesn't look like Kelvin. Kelvin looks like him.
Yeah, there we go. Something like that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, to the moon, Robert Whittaker. Hopefully. I mean, I'm all in on Robert Whittaker, but I like Izzy too. So I mean, I'm not gonna say that's a tough one, because Izzy was definitely controlled by Blachowicz, but there was a weight discrepancy there. I think that that might play a little bit of the fact into
20
a,
pounds into heavier it. Than him in yeah. these martial arts contests.
I think that the takedowns are a little bit more difficult when you know against Izzy at the lower weight class. So, but we'll see. I mean, Robert Whittaker is world class. Those two could fight two times a year. Just keep doing that for like the next 2 years, and I'm totally cool with it because I think that the fights are always going to be good. And that division just kind of sucks right now. So those two guys are literally the best two, and I feel like everyone else is a pretty far away from them. In my opinion,
I don't think the division sucks. I just think those two are that good. I mean, it just Jared Cannonier. Look at the tear he's been on. I don't think he sucks. I mean, I know everyone thinks Paulo Costa sucks after that performance against Izzy, but he's fucking solid. You know, like he walked down Yoel Romero and won that fight. Like, you know, Kelvin Gastelum, I mean, although he's been on a bit of a skid lately because a lot of people figured him out, it's tough. I mean, Aaron's going to hate this, but Darren Till's not bad.
Yes, he is.
I'm just pissing off Aaron tonight. That's just, hey, Darren Till versus Jake Paul. Are you tuning into that boxing match?
Just keep my MMA fighters fighting MMA. I'm good.
I feel
like,
you.
I think
the thing that pisses me off about Jake Paul is he literally picked out the worst boxer,
the worst striker ever. All of the UFC. I mean, I'm being honest.
Yeah, Dennis is there.
Dylan Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis would have been bad.
Does he classify though? Because the dude's got like three fights ever. Like, I feel like I don't even count Dylan.
There's
Dennis.
A reason why Dylan Dennis didn't take it. I wish Dylan Dennis was in there tonight, though. Oh my goodness, I wish Dylan Dennis was in there tonight. Dylan Dennis would have got his ass fucking.
That would have been whooped. One of the long times I probably rooted for.
Root
Jake
for
Paul.
Jake Paul. I know that's how much I don't like Dylan Dennis. I would have rooted for Jake Paul. That's crazy. No, but yeah.
But this freaking card, guys, it was so bad. Yeah. So tonight.
Shit took forever.
Between the two cards, there were two nut shot stoppages. So we had
one
Alexander.
Wasn't a nut shot either.
Nut shot. Yeah, so the guy got taken out on a stretcher in the boxing.
This
fight.
Is the weakest night in fight sports history.
It made fighters look like pussies.
There's also three split decisions. That's always good.
I thought there was more than that.
Oh yeah, and one of the split decisions there's one of the split decisions was on the nut shot fight too.
Yes,
had a split decision in it.
So I want to talk about Romanov. So
well, before we get off, to that, we should talk about what was supposed to be the co-main event.
Oh,
with
Giancarlo. Yes. Well, that was going to be the next thing.
Okay. So do we want to get Romanov first?
I kind of want to get to Romanov because it actually happened.
Yeah.
So first off, hand up. Do you think Romanov took the easy way out because he was just gassed? Hand up if you thought he took the easy way out. Hands up on me. I'm sorry. He was purely gassed for one. And I've seen guys literally get punted, like Pat McAfee punt to the nuts and still fight. This man, the knee, listen, we all know, we're all men here. We all know that getting kicked in the dick hurts. We get it. But this man, the knee grazed each thigh first and then got him in the cup. And then just rolled around, looked like he was taking a nap. And then he specifically asked if this fight ends, what's the outcome going to be? And the doctor said, I can't answer that question. That's not the questions I'm in here for. That is the biggest escape ever. He was gassed. The fight was pretty close going into that third round. I thought that he could have potentially lost it because Espino, I think, won the whatever 1 minute that was in
that
the third round.
Minute. Yeah, Espino did win that 1 minute.
So
good fight before that.
It was, it was a good fight, but... Romanov, first time he faced adversity, I think he took the easy way out.
Yeah.
What the hell? Like, that was another – it was just one of those things where you got the split decisions, you got Ben Askren, you got the nut shots, you got Oscar De La Hoya on cocaine saying weird things. So many things going on at one time. My wife's calling me. My son threw up in the bed. I got stuff going on from all directions. And then I see this man get kneed in the nuts, and I'm like, okay, this fight's going to continue. Like, we get another 4 minutes, one of them get knocked out maybe. And then it just stops. And I'm just like, and then I didn't even watch the fight, the boxing fight where the guy apparently didn't get hit in the nuts, but then he got taken out on a stretcher.
On a stretcher. He didn't, they showed the replay. He didn't get touched even on his body. Like, literally grazed past his, like, the right side of his shorts. And then he got carried out on a stretcher.
So what happened in that? Was that another technical decision?
Just like in
what were the odds that two of those happened in one night?
I don't know.
All promotions. Because I feel like I've never seen a technical decision.
The thing before. That made it worse was they were both acting jobs. Unlike your undisputed UFC bantamweight champion of the world, Aljamain Sterling. These were some acting jobs, man. You know, like I don't know. With the Romanov one, just it was a tough finish to a pretty entertaining fight.
They were a minute and a half. They were halfway through the first round, and those guys were breathing like they ran a mile. Like they were
crazy.
It was so bad. Yeah. But yeah. So Aaron, anything on Romanov?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, we were talking about it earlier in the week, and I was all over Romanov. And then as I got further into the week, I started to think that Espino had a good chance. And now, if this fight happens again, I think Espino would be the favorite. And I think that Romanov has been pretty well exposed at this point as kind of a guy who hadn't faced anybody of real merit in his career. And now, as he's getting into I wouldn't give him a chance against a lot of these higher talent guys.
He had to be 300 pounds. Going,
I mean, yeah. And it's not, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I do think he took the easy way out. But I also think that Espino did hit him in the nuts, and Espino put himself in a position to where his opponent can decide
their way out.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not the easy way out
because
he got two checks for it by making that decision. And if that third round kept going, Espino was going to win.
I mean, listen, if you're asking me, I'm going to pretend all day that I can't keep fighting so I can get two checks.
Also, we've all been there before where it's like you've gotten hit really hard in the nuts and thought it was going to be that shot that hurt you hard, and you like kind of just are fine from it, and then it's that glancing shot that ends up being the one that rocks you the most. Like, I mean, he was saying shit like he couldn't strain his leg out. Like, and that's like kind of disturbing. Like, you got that ball up and you're like, feeling like, oh my fucking, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, I don't even, it's like that referred pain. So it's like, if like maybe got pinched, we don't know. Like, again, like, but I don't know. Like, it was a fight that now I think maybe we'll see again, and I'd be fine seeing it again, like, because I do think it was entertaining, and I do think that a lot of these fights, first of all, I'm looking really forward to next week. I'm going to be at the card in Jacksonville with fans. I think fans are needed to come back for a few reasons here. If I can go on a little bit of since there's not really much to talk about with these fights.
For sure.
What's the effect that fans will have, I think, on two things: judging and fighters. First of all, the judging. I think that the judges are on multiple occasions not keeping track of their scorecards as the fights are going on and then judging it at the end, because sometimes it's just there was a few fights on here where there was a clear 2-1 and then it was like, but at the end one fighter looked like they're like, it doesn't add up. But I think that the judges are hearing the commentary at points. I think they're letting that seep into their judgment. They're right next to the commentary booths. They're hearing them scream about one fighter in particular the whole time in whatever fight it is. And I just think these judges are dumb as shit and don't know what they're really judging a lot of the times. And we're getting all the time, we got 3 split decisions on this card. One, the worst split decisions are when it's 29-28 each way and then a 30-27. That means all 3 judges saw the fight 3 different ways. They didn't just see 2 different winners. They saw 3 different scores. And it's just like that's the split decision special. So that's Tracy the first
Cortez, part. Justine Kish.
Yeah. And also I do. Yeah. That one we'll get to in a second, because I do think when fighters miss weight, they should have to win by a little percentage too. I don't think if it's close,
She made up for it with the shorts.
Yeah, okay, sure.
They gave her a point for her looks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that happened on a couple of the women's fights tonight. But the other part is that with these two heavyweights, I do think they probably get tired in front of a crowd quickly. But with the crowd, everybody's screaming. They don't hear each other breathing and be like, man, I'm tired. Man, I'm tired too. And like, also, the Violent Bob Ross fight, it was like a sparring match, right? Like, neither guy seemed like they were trying to, like, especially weird. Bob Ross, like, towards the end, seemed like he was trying to finish at all. I think that they just kind of get used to, like, thinking it's, like, kind of just sparring at a certain point when they're not, there's no crowd there. Certain fighters, I think, really need it. Like, these lower-level fighters who don't have that ultra focus to be able to go in there and deliver, like Gaethje did against Ferguson. Like, you see, like, what Pena did against Munoz, where it's like kind of just seemed like they were sparring. Like, neither guy was really throwing that hard, like, especially not Pena. And it's just like, so I think those two things are things I hope with the crowd increased a little bit more from what we've been seeing.
So with the crowd, it's for me, it's a double-edged sword, just because there, how many times do you see fights where there's like loud crowd reactions to missed strikes? And mm-hmm. then you see that reflected in the judges' scoring, you know?
Right.
But I do agree with you. I think it's going to get – I think for some fighters, the fighters that are more, I guess, mentally in it, mm-hmm. that it's going to – I think crowds might actually hinder their performance a little bit.
Or it doesn't be able to matter. Hear their corners. Like Robert Whitaker's
yeah,
doing
that
performance with 10 million people watching him tonight or with the Ape. Like, that's how Robert Whitaker – but there's other fighters, I think, that – have suffered a lot, like Kama Worthy, like all these guys you've seen with over this last year, like out of nowhere, like
I think it's going to heavily influence things like Aljo staying on the ground, things like Romanov staying on the ground when there's 15,000-20,000 people booing you for milking it. It's a completely different story. Like, especially when you're already winded, your mind's all over the place, your adrenaline's pumping, you're like, oh, I can't be a bitch in front of all these people. You know, it's completely different.
From all those ball kicks against Ben Rothwell when he was winning a fight, that if he would have just stayed down after the fifth ball kick, he would have won. He got up and got his jaw broke.
Anthony Smith got kneed in the head against John Jones in a fight that he was getting dominated against. Mm-hmm. And he could have made he could have made championship pay. And pay-per-view points against John Jones in a rematch.
Anthony Lionheart Smith could have made championship pay. Like,
that was a million-dollar decision that he just threw away. Just threw away. If it was me, I'm milking that shit. John, you could take another loss on this record for a disqualification. Are you kidding me?
Anthony Smith also went out in a fight where he said his teeth were falling out against Glover Teixeira, where he literally said, "My teeth are falling out."
Glover said, "Sorry."
I respect Anthony Smith, but I think he needs a good talking to about PR decisions.
Ain't gonna be champion. That's the closest he came. That knee was the closest.
Exactly. That's the closest he'll ever come. Oh my goodness.
Aljo took it.
At least Matt Hamill can't hear. You know what I'm saying? So Matt Hamill was just like, "I'm gonna milk it," but he couldn't. He couldn't hear shit, so it didn't really make a difference. But I mean, Anthony Smith, I mean, he gets pissed off anytime any fighters talk shit. I'm like, you're never going to make any good amount of money in MMA with this mentality you have. I don't know.
MMA is not the M's in MMA are not money. Neither one.
I guess, but shit.
Josh, we haven't heard you.
No, I got nothing on Romanov. I think he should just say he's 14-0. And just act like O'Malley with this situation and just ride it as far as he can.
Well, he won. Romanov won.
He won.
He won. He's 14-0. Yeah.
He is. Like, he's not O'Malleying it. Espino would be O'Malleying it if he's like, I'm 11-1, not 11-2.
Either way, O'Malley. But that's all I have for that fight. I mean, I would have milked it too. I mean, he took the win. It was a tough fight.
How about Espino, though? 40 years old and like looking like, you know, pretty physically capable in those later rounds and took
that
down.
That's the most athletic big dude I think I've ever seen. Like, athletic looking big dude. Like, he looks like
from the Canary Islands.
Yeah, it just that was crazy.
A nice tan going too.
Hair, good little mustache.
Talking to Jose earlier, because apparently he was on the Canary Islands wrestling team, and I think everybody's reaction was, I have a fucking wrestling team? Why does the Canary Islands have a wrestling
team?
Sounds
so refreshing, the Canary Islands. Just sounds like the dopest place on earth.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
So Nico actually asked, did we talk about Jakar Close getting a concussion and suffering a cervical sprain from Jeremy Stephens shoving him? So we can talk about that. So obviously we knew right as the show started that fight was canceled. I'll be honest, at first, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, Jakar Close pussy, like that's my first reaction, right? But then you go back and you watch it again, and then, you know, you start listening and you're thinking about it. If you're not expecting a push like that,
no,
you can't, like, whiplash. I mean, without a doubt, whiplash.
A push from while you're, like, seriously
dehydrated.
Like, dehydrated. Yeah. And yeah. I think over the next few days, like, at first, even myself, like, I was laughing about him, like, fucking Close. He, like, pulls out of another fight because he got pushed. But the more I think about it, Stevens needs to be, like, fined, like, his entire purse.
Yes.
Like, he needs to be suspended, like, and he needs to be, like, seriously, like, berated by people, because it's like, and also people need to not fucking touch each other ever again. Like, now it's been ruined completely. Yeah. No one can touch each other ever again, because it's like, seriously, like, a cervical sprain, like, I don't know how close a cervical sprain is to a cervical fracture, but that's fucking, like, some crazy shit, like, to over a push. In a Stevens Close fight, like, why do you guys even have beef? Like, you guys just are
too,
like,
mad because he was in his face at a face off.
this is my thing.
Yeah, it's like crazy. Like, I don't know what Steven, like, I don't know if it's a CTE, like I don't know what it is.
This has been Jeremy Stevens his entire career, and I'm hoping that this finally stops him. This
stupid.
He shoved people at freaking weigh-ins all the time, though.
Has he?
Me and my friends nickname him Jeremy Kyle Stevens, because he acts like a dude that will chug a Monster Energy and punch a fucking hole in the wall all the time. I mean, like, I understand, dude, you got testosterone in your blood or in your body, but, like, calm the fuck down. And I hope that, like, I agree with you, Aaron. I mean, you need to be fined. You need to be suspended. Like, you there needs to be some sort of repercussions, because he just lost out on a payday because you shoved him before a fight.
And he's been out for like a year and a half close already. He's coming out off shoulder surgery. He had a loss. His wife has just got cut from the UFC at 99. Yeah. Like, it's just like
warranted.
Really and they're like, oh, we'll just run it back with these two. Like, no, Stevens doesn't deserve this fight anymore. Stevens deserves a prelim fight against some fucking.
I mean, let's be honest. They could probably cut Jeremy Stevens and not skip a beat.
Absolutely. Four straight losses anyways in a no contest, like, and then doing this shit. It's like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, you, like, don't remember the whole thing that happened with him, Yair Rodriguez?
Did you get the I made a Conor reference. Did anybody want?
Oh, I missed it. I missed out on it.
I'm sorry. Said,
who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm all for just having a ruleless sports organization. But at the same time, right now, I think the UFC should look into fining fighters for shoving or making contact during
weigh-ins. It's like when Paul Daly pushed the referee after and they cut Paul Daly. There's certain fighters who you can jump off a cage and jump into a crowd, Khabib. And then there's other fighters who you, like, brace a referee and we're going to cut your ass, Paul Daly. Stevens is a Paul Daly level of a guy.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Concussion caused a cervical spine and a co-main event to get cut from it. Like, you're gone.
Yeah, I mean,
I know. I'm aware that UFC is not about morals, but I'm not. I am.
They're on your ass.
I'm not the UFC. I am about morals.
Aaron's having to defend himself from everybody tonight. This is so funny.
No, I agree with you guys, though. I think, you know, he won't get cut. You know, UFC doesn't really give a shit about that stuff, and he probably won't get fined. But it's just funny. Jeremy Stevens, they're going to ask him to comment on it. He's going to be like, what did I do? I didn't do what did I do? I didn't do nothing.
He was in my fucking face.
He's my face on me. I had a face off.
honestly. No, I mean seriously, this is the type of shit that you've seen. I mean, like, honestly, Aaron, I you should go back and look at his pattern of behavior. He is a total Kyle. I guarantee his
back tattoo is very Kyle-y.
I mean, everything about him screams Kyle. He's got tattoos on his arms, a freaking full beard, Monster Energy sponsorship. I'm sure it's got to be there somewhere, you know. I don't know. He just
definitely a flat earther.
Oh yeah, definitely a flat earther. Drives a big ass pickup truck to compensate for his penis size. 100%. I mean, the dude's got to chill the fuck out. That's
Blue Lives Matter with Jeremy Stevens.
Oh god.
Oh shit,
Josh. Yeah. Josh, anything?
Damn, I'm the black dude, and I didn't even say that one. Oh gosh. Yeah, no. But I just go ahead, Josh.
Jeremy Stevens. No, Jeremy Stevens in the wrong completely. Is he your fired though? Is he gonna be your fired on your
we'll have to find out.
There's so many candidates tonight. I need to look up all three judges' names. First,
those are the Triller. Triller is fired.
There was three straight fights on this card where the judges, I feel, got the fights wrong in a row. Jessica Penne did not beat Lupita Gondinez. Period. Then they got Alexander Romanov being Juan Espino. No, and then my boy Bob Ross, Luis Pena. I don't know if he beat Munoz because Munoz won the first two rounds.
Yeah, Bob Ross, man, he just looked. I was messaging in the group chat with Steve. He looks slow and just very lax, like too lax.
He was sparring. Like he was bad.
I explained this to my friends and they said it was pretty on point. So I just want to get you guys' take. He looks like he's supposed to be way better at striking than he actually is. Like his movements.
Andy allegedly has a good amateur wrestling background, but he got taken down like a sack of potatoes.
And then afterwards, he was just like, "Yeah, I'll show Kevin Holland, come train with me. I'll show you how to." I was like, "No,
he already has the same. He already has that wrestling."
Yeah, I'm saying he has the exact same thing that you have. It's awful. Like
And it's so weird to me because I've talked to Luis quite a bit since his last. You know, he's been living at American Top Team's dorms. Been training with Dustin Poirier and other really, really high level guys, like replicating like Conor McGregor for Dustin and other guys. Like, I really thought he was going to pick up a little more, but I do just think that whether it's a crowd or without a crowd, Luis Pena, we're still waiting for that hype Luis Pena from The Ultimate Fighter that everybody saw in there get injured. And then we're like, oh, once he comes back from that injury, he's fine. Then he faced Trezano, and it was like, oh, once he gets used to the knee after the surgery and now he has his debut, he'll be fine. And, like, he keeps kind of – and, like, he didn't win this fight tonight. I bet on him heavy, and I know he didn't win this fight. But he got the win, so he's going to move on to some. But it's like Alex Munoz, 6-1. His best win was over a one-armed guy, Nick Newell. Like
I was about to say that.
It's just like Alex Munoz is as one-dimensional as one-dimensional comes. He was 5'9 versus 6'3. Like everything was here for Bob Ross to shine. And he got gifted a decision because the judges didn't know what they were watching the whole night. And now he's gonna have to face someone better. Like, I don't know if he'd beat Scott Holtzman. Like, straight up. I think Scott Holtzman probably starches him.
Like, there's if he fights like that, where, yeah.
Yeah, like Scott Holtzman.
Like, well, come on. Take it easy. Take it easy.
Also, credit to Alexander Munoz. I'm just glad he got another fight. Because after fighting Nick Newell, it's like literally the worst lose-lose situation. Because if you beat Nick Newell, it's just like you beat a dude with one fucking arm. What a fucking asshole you are for fighting someone with one arm. Mm-hmm. And then if you lose to Nick Newell, damn. You lost to someone with one fucking arm. You suck.
Like, I mean, you guys who lost to Nick Newell were like, he has an unfair advantage. I can't.
No.
It's like, okay, let's.
Not buying that shit. If you can't physically block a right hand.
Have you seen his guillotine, Nick Newell's guillotine, when he locks it in? Oh, yeah. Like, if he gets it on the nub side, can't get it out. I don't know if that's right.
I saw him hit a spinning back stub, and that shit was so funny.
Dude, he put me to sleep in a half second, to be clear.
Are you for real?
Like, he would destroy me.
I mean, yeah, he's fucking, he's good. He's good. Like, that, I don't want any problems with him or that stuff.
They're like, fight the hand. Fight the hand instead of
This is nothing. I'm just waiting for the day that he's trying to prods a jab with that and gets an eye poke with his little
thing. He's got Vaseline on it. It's slippery.
Oh God. Hey, if you get hit with a spinning back stub by Nick Newell.
Is he allowed to strike with the stump?
Yeah, he strikes with the stub all the time.
Shouldn't he have to wear like a little glove over it, like a custom?
It's an elbow. It's an elbow.
Like a yarmulke. Like a padded yarmulke or something.
I just worried about the extended little like stubby fingers things that he has.
What about 12-6 stump? Is that legal, or does it have to be at an angle?
I don't know. That's
12-6 stumps. It's over. Matt Hamill.
Honestly, 12-6.
I'm crying.
It's not even a poke, really. I'd just be stabbing at eyes.
Is that an eye? Is that a stump poke?
I don't know.
It's like, keep your stump closed.
What's the ruling on that? I really want to know. Because if he prods that stub and it goes in someone's eye, I mean,
is that
like
the new rules or is that the old rules? Can we go to replay with it?
I don't know.
Like, I just want to know.
All credit to Nick Newell.
Tracy,
anyway,
crying.
Sports, though.
Anyway, Louis Binion tonight, I don't think he does well against Nick Newell. That's
no. And fun fact, Scott Holtzman beat the shit out of Nick Newell. So, man. I said fun fact, Scott Holtzman actually beat the shit out of Nick Newell. So
did Justin Gaethje, and literally the closest thing to a snuff film you can get in MMA.
Justin Gaethje fought Nick Newell.
Justin Gaethje Nick Newell's ass up.
What the fuck?
Justin Gaethje fucked Nick Newell up, bro. That's terrible. Finished the fight with a right hand right over the guard of the stove.
That's unfair.
And people were arguing for Nick Newell going into that fight, I remember. Like, they're like, he's got a real grappling edge.
Imagine placing money on someone with one fucking arm.
Like kicking the one-legged man in the ass.
I can't stop laughing.
That's so funny. Oh my goodness.
What did Nick Newell do to earn this kind of like hate from the MMA community that he literally just got I'm saying he got fed to all these people.
Yo.
Like, God.
This is the thing. Somebody's got to take the fight. Because you got to think. You got to take out half of the competition for moral dilemmas.
So Scott Holtzman ended up fighting him because the champ didn't want to fight Scott Holtzman, so he vacated the belt. So Nick Newell and Scott Holtzman fought for the belt in whatever promotion that was. At this point, it seems like Nick Newell has fought in every promotion that possibly exists.
Yeah. I mean, Alexander Munoz beat him, and I was honestly watching the fight like, this dude is a fucking asshole. Like, I think anybody that beats Nick Newell, you're just not going to be a fan of that guy, other than Justin Gaethje. Because if it's violent enough, I'm fucking with it, you know? If you just beat the shit out of someone legally with one arm, like, that's fucking amazing.
Hey, just real quick, shout out to the new middleweight submission king, Gerald fucking Meerschaert is back, baby.
Gerald Meerschaert.
At middleweight. He asked to fight at middleweight. He looks so much better at middleweight, first of all, than he did at light heavyweight. So that's the first, like, when he fought Ian Heinisch, and Heinisch just leg kicked him and punched him into oblivion. But yeah, this was that was a great guillotine. It was the only submission of the night.
Yeah, he put him out.
It was the only submission of the night.
Two stoppages of the night happened in the first three fights. The rest were decisions.
Exactly. And underdog. So shout out to Gerald Meerschaert, and then Tony Gravely also kind of
got the KO.
Yeah, but he kind of struggled a little bit, but I did like to see that he wasn't just fighting a completely washed Burchak. So it was like good to see he fought through some adversity and got the finish. So Gravely was one of my more reliable picks on the night. And then Austin Hubbard just had the veteran performance there.
I like Dakota Bush, though. I like Dakota Bush.
Dakota Bush put him against like a – I don't know, like a Derek Minner or something. I don't know. Like
he took the fight on a week notice. Like I feel like he's I mean, I'm not going to go on here and say Dakota Bush is going to be like the next big thing, but I think that, like, he could stick around in the UFC for a bit and, you know, have some pretty good fights. I liked his style, and I thought he was gassed after the first, but he really, the whole entire fight, I mean, he definitely was gassed between the first and the third, but, like, he didn't quit. And even mm-hmm. when he was on the bottom, you know, throwing elbows and everything else, and you could tell it was bothering Hubbard. So I thought that it was a pretty good performance on a week's notice against someone like Austin Hubbard, who is damn good. So mm-hmm. I really liked Dakota Bush a lot. And Josh, you were upset because they didn't pronounce his nickname. His
nickname? Why?
Which isn't even a dirty nickname. It's literally a family nickname.
It's Dakota, like, Harry Bush. It's very, like, you know,
family's nickname.
What's wrong?
What's wrong with Harry Bush?
Nothing. Bruce Buffer, can you say that?
Nothing.
You know what I would get for Bruce Buffer? Harry Bush. Just yell it at the top of his lungs. I mean, hopefully he gets another fight, right? So then UFC can just do it this time.
Fix it.
Yeah. That needs to happen.
If there's any justice in this world, he'll get another fight just for that.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, did we miss? Anyway, yeah. Back VBR, bad. I don't know what's up with that. Did we miss any of the other ones? Justine Kish didn't shit in the cage, so that's good.
And she was bold to wear white, too, so we were all holding our breath.
Yeah, I said that to Carrie.
Oh, my goodness.
Good for her. Yeah, that was a fight where
I don't think Tracy Cortez looked that good.
I don't think she should be fighting at 125. I mean, she took off like 8 months to get down to 125, and then she missed by still half a pound.
Yeah.
And looked absolutely compromised by it too. She really did.
There's, like, a video of her training with Henry Cejudo on his Instagram, and mm-hmm. I mean, she's bigger than him. So I know that's a serious struggle for
and
her.
And it's like, we all follow Tracy Cortez on Instagram because we care about MMA. And, you know, it's like, if you've been watching her Instagram stories for the last, like, 3 months, she always looks like she's dying. She's always in a sauna, and she's never eating. Like, she's just, like, been doing that for 8 months. And then it's just like, you know, in Wild Wild West when, you know, they're shooting and he goes, after all that, you missed. After all that, you missed weight. Like, after all that 8 months, you've still missed weight and go in there and struggle with Justine Kish. Like, what's going to happen when you face Tatiana Suarez when she moves up, or when you face the rest of, like, Roxanne Modafferi will give her trouble. She'll just pressure her entire
life. I like Tracy Cortez's camp. I think she has potential. She's still young, but the size is a legitimate issue at this point. Just because, I mean, she's a very sturdy built gal, but I mean, talking about 5'4" for 135 is a lot to ask, for a fighter on the rise. That's a tough ask.
Yeah, and there's just, like, not a lot of women who are cutting 15 to 20 pounds for fights. Like, Amanda Nunes isn't even doing that, you know. And it's like, so it's like, what she's, so there's not really that value, because it's like Justine Kish, for example, came up from 115 for this fight and still looked super bodied, but, like, she's not cutting any weight. That's why she was able to fight that pace and almost steal it there. So, but yeah, I mean, I personally think, I don't know how judges could do this, but I wish there was a way judge missed weight fighters a little more harshly, just so that when it is that close fight, you missed weight. Sorry. Like, you lose.
How do you feel about, like, Israel Adesanya saying, like, 50%? Like, if you miss weight, 50% of your purse.
I mean, I think
I know you said 90 earlier, but, like, 50%.
I think I don't know. Like, I just wish that like the UFC would kind of take more of a, like, a proactive approach and say, like, you guys need to have a certain amount of hydration. What one claims to do, I don't know if one actually does it, but, you know, they claim to do hydration tests throughout camp to make sure that their fighters aren't dehydrating themselves, and therefore a bunch of fighters have moved up in weight and everything, but who knows if that's really – but, like, if there was, like, just a rule in place where it's like you can't do it, otherwise fighters are always going to try to get edges, same with PEDs and weight cutting. It's all the same, but like,
sure, well, don't do the one formula because they're ahead of weight cutting, but yet got DJ fighting fucking monsters over here.
And exactly. And it's like that same thing happened when Eddie Alvarez fought Timothy Nastukin or whatever.
Nastukin, yeah.
Yeah, he came in. Timothy came in and looked like a middleweight in that fight. So it's like, it looks like they missed a couple hydration tests over there. So, you know, I don't know how legit one is with anything. I'll be honest. One kind of is shady. But yeah, I mean, I think that we're getting further away from the weight cut era. Like, I think we're getting further away from it, but there's still certain fighters who are going to keep doing it.
For me, I think it just comes down to what is your wrestling background? What like, because at the end of the day, you can't move up successfully in weight classes in MMA if you're not already drastically outsized at the weight class that you were at before, or you have an extremely high level wrestling pedigree. I mean, Henry Cejudo is able to be undersized at 135 or maybe even 145 because he's a fucking Olympic gold medalist. You know what I'm saying? Like, John Jones can move up to heavyweight because he's a high caliber wrestler. Like, you have to not be able to have someone implement their size and weight on you and just hold you against the cage or the ground in any way. That's why you see Israel Adesanya lose to Jan Blachowicz. I mean, Jan is amazing, but at the same time, 20-pound weight advantage later on in that fight whenever things start getting more and more technical as things wear down and Izzy gets more time to read his opponents. I mean, that's obviously going to play a factor.
But size and weight always plays more of a factor in grappling than
– exactly. Strength. Yeah, that's why I never believed Izzy when he was talking about the freaking, oh, well, I've gone up in weight classes and kickboxing. He's like, this is a whole completely different ballgame.
That's why it's so crazy what Juan Espino did to Romanov. Romanov had so much weight on Espino.
Yeah.
Espino Romanov was legit 300 pounds.
And Espino was taking him down. 40 years old, 10 years older, like 50 pounds smaller. It's like, that's where it's like the skill of a grappler.
Yeah.
I don't know. Go Espino. Espino wins all my awards.
If we're talking about the weight cut era, I honestly think it's gotten even worse from whenever I became an MMA fan. Like, I started watching MMA in like 2012, 2013. The champion at 145, I mean, even though the champion's shorter now, but he's still freaking huge, was Jose Aldo at 5'7", 135. I mean, the champion at 155 was Anthony Pettis, who was drastically outsized now.
Frankie Edgar.
Frankie Edgar, exactly. At 170, he had 5'9", freaking GSP. I mean, but look at the contenders now at 145. Versus 7-8 years ago. Way bigger. You got Zabit that's damn near 6'2". Yair Rodriguez 5'9", 5'10". I mean, all these guys have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger where everyone used to just be 5'6". I think it's everybody's starting to figure out, oh, I need this size advantage to compete at an elite level. And that's where I think, like, Tracy Cortez is going to have some issues because, I mean, right now, 5'4", I think you can compete with a 5'5", Valentina Shevchenko at 125.
Yes,
if you have aspirations to be a champion. You're not doing shit to a 5'8 Amanda Nunes.
I mean, yeah, she didn't kill herself for the last 8 months and not eat and like sweat. Yeah, like there's a reason she's doing that. I agree.
Yeah,
it's like there needs to be more weight classes, but there's not enough fighters.
Yeah, so, and everybody's not as lucky to like have one arm like Nick Newell where they can just add extra weight in other areas.
We're going back to this shit.
We can't all be as lucky as Nick Newell.
I'm just starting to calm down now.
Love goodness. Me some spinning back stubs, man. I love it.
Goodness.
12 to 6 stumps should be legal.
12 to 6 stumps. Spinning back stubs. God. Stub pokes.
You're going to get me going. You're going to get me going again. Once I start laughing, I have a hard time stopping. We had two fights that we didn't cover. We'll probably cover them in the awards, but Jacob Malkoon wrestle fucked Abdul Razak Al Hassan, which I don't think anyone saw that coming. So,
well, I mean, we did say on the preview show if Al Hassan doesn't finish him in the first 2.5 minutes,
Al Hassan's out of the first round. I think anybody in the world can beat him.
Did anyone pick Malkoon? Did any of you pick Malkoon?
Fuck no,
no,
fuck no.
It just
looked too much like first verse same as the second verse same as the first.
Yeah.
It looked like Phil Haas 2.0. Like I,
yeah, and that. Well, then we had Chase Sherman too losing to Andre Arlovsky. Just bought himself another fight in the UFC, most likely, which is crazy to me. But listen,
to cut him, man.
he's still got a decent chin because he wore a couple shots and just kept returning fire. Listen, I'm all in. I want Andre Arlovski to just keep fighting. Screw it. Like, he just doesn't give a shit. He still enjoys it. He said they asked him how many more fights you have left. He said, a couple more years.
Did you see this was his 17th consecutive fight as an underdog?
Makes sense.
Well, he was the favorite tonight.
No way. He was?
Yeah, he was.
Or I think it broke a streak of him being like 17 consecutive fights.
This broke the streak of him being an underdog. Yeah.
And
he was a minus 120 favorite, which is as little of a favorite as you can possibly be without being.
Goodness gracious.
So it's like he's the smallest favorite. Yeah, no, Andre Arlovski, it is really, he looked really impressive.
He did.
Took some shots. Doesn't look 40 at all, other than his nose that goes like 20.
He's starting to get a little bit of a gut now. Every time I see him go out there, he's getting
a little bit
more,
but he still looks pretty. I mean, he's no Juan Espino 40, but
no.
Maybe he got that Canary Island fan.
Are you guys ready to do give away some pink slips?
More than ready.
All right, here we go. Coffee and KOs, here we are. We're going to fire the shit out of some people. So after this card, I feel like you can get rid of almost three quarters of the roster that was on that card. This is so bad. But I'll start. I have to go Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. I think that his performance was probably the worst performance on the card. Jacob Malkoon, typically kickboxer. He does wrestle, though. He has some wrestling. You know, he trains with Robert Whittaker. But he looked god-awful in his debut. And then Abdul Razak Al-Hassan was a guy that, you know, knocks out Nico Price. Everyone's high on him. Then he went through some legal issues. And since he's come back from those legal issues, he's been awful. He has been so bad. He got knocked out by Chaos Williams. And then today was just really bad. No answer for takedowns. I think he only got off 20 strikes the entire fight. It was like 20 strikes the entire fight. It was really, really bad. Jacob Malkoon wrestled the shit out of him, and he had no answers for it. I think Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, I think you're a goner, buddy. And that's going to be my pink slip.
Yeah, he's been a minus 350 favorite, a minus 210 favorite, and a minus 310 favorite in his last three fights. If you would have just bet the guy Al-Hassan was facing in the last three fights, you're making such bank over the last if you bet Al-Hassan over the last three fights at those prices, I don't know what you are doing. But yeah, fired, totally fired. I'll go next, I guess. I would say that it's kind of hard, but I mean, I guess I would fire. There's not really a fighter on Bartosz Fabinski, I guess I'd fire.
I had him. I had no, I didn't have him on there.
It's just like he gets caught in guillotines and just goes out, and like it's like no one really is excited to see Bartosz Fabinski fight. Not even me.
Like, he didn't go out. It looked like he closed his eyes for a second.
Oh no, he went out.
He was out.
It looked like he just wanted to go out, though. Like he just
wanted to.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, I'd want to go out too at that point and just let it be over.
I know Anthony Berchek definitely will be on the block. Also, Jeremy Stevens actually is going to be my fired person. I just got to fire him out of principle. I know that the UFC would never do such a cool move, but Jeremy Stevens, like, you suck. Like that's really that's really shitty, and it's just like it's just gonna get slid under the rug because of Logan Paul fighting tonight or whatever. So it's just like sucks.
I don't think anyone's performance warranted them realistically to get fired. If I had to choose one,
Al-Hassan 1,000% deserves to be fired.
If I had to choose one, probably Jeremy Stevens, just because what he did was so dumb, and that was the fight I was looking forward to the most, besides maybe Whittaker tonight, but that was like the fight that I bookmarked way before, like, this week, this Monday. I wanted to watch this fight. And, I mean, maybe Razak, but at one point he was considered to be, you know, the next best thing.
Yeah, but he's 35, really 35 really now. 35 yeah. now with three really bad losses in a row.
No one gets fired for me tonight, but if I had to choose one, Jeremy Stephens, get the fuck out of here, dude. That was
You're a good boss. You're a good boss.
Think so? Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm telling him. I'm telling him, dude, you can't do that. You cannot do that.
Me personally, I'm firing two people. One Kids. Relevant, one not relevant. I'm going to start with the not relevant one to get it out of the way. Ray Flores, the commentator for Showtime, and then also he commentated tonight on the Jake Paul and Ben Askren fight. I fucking hate him. I'll look in the camera right now. I fucking hate you, dude. I don't like you. I mean, I know. Sure, provide for your family, do whatever. I hope you never work another broadcast event ever again. Anyway, he was just like literally play by play commentator. Frank Mir is getting fucked up right now by yes. Steve Cunningham. I'm yeah. like, he won the round that he was saying he got fucked up in. It was like the second round. Nothing had landed yet. He's like, he's getting fucked up. It's like, no, like relax. He was just using that opportunity to shit on MMA. Oh yeah. Also fire Oscar De La Hoya. Oh my God. I hope whoever he boxes fucks him up. Good God. But the serious one, Anthony Berchek fired, bro. I'm sorry. You're fired. He got signed to the UFC. Went 2-2, then got cut, went to Ryzen, lost all three of his fights, won three fights on the regional scene, got back to the UFC, and he's 0-2. This dude's 2-5 now in the UFC. Oh, no. He's 2-4 now in the UFC. I don't even know how he has a Wikipedia.
By Gravely, who's a wrestler.
Yeah. Go no. He's gotta get cut, man. He's not UFC caliber competition. All power to you, bro. Go. Goodbye. Like, no, yeah, when you're getting placed on the very bottom of a fight night card and you're getting finished within 2 minutes or no, within the first two rounds against someone that's a wrestler, like you're getting finished by method of not what your opponent's specialty is. It's tough. So, yeah, get him up out of here. He got dominated from pillar to post. Nah.
I was expecting one of you guys to put this guy on there, Chase Sherman. I thought Chase Sherman's looked really bad. He was bad prior to coming back to the UFC. And then he fights Andre Arlovsky, who's 42. And, you know, any heavyweight prospect like Tom Aspinall, you know, they finish Andre Arlovsky. Chase Sherman, he just doesn't do it for me.
You need depth.
I wasn't expecting anything from him. What were you expecting from Chase Sherman? I just wasn't expecting much.
You're not going to get a Tom Aspinall.
He almost did a couple times. He almost really did kind of put Andre away. He had him against – it's just – Andre beats these guys. He beats Tanner Bozers. He beats the
Chase Shermans.
He beats – yeah, like Andre's 35 UFC fights in. It's tough. Short notice for Chase Sherman. Chase Sherman was supposed to be fighting Parker fucking Porter. And goes to fighting Andre Arlovsky. Like, that's rough.
I've heard Parker Porter's name way too many times recently. Just because we interviewed Chris Daukaus, and then we started talking about, like, I'm really tired of hearing Parker Porter's name. So, Parker, actually, I will fire Parker Porker, or whatever the fuck his name is. I'll fire him. I'll switch my pick to that, because I've never even seen the guy, and I don't want to hear
You need to look him up.
Parker Porter.
Sight to behold.
Good God.
All right. We're getting to our last segment here. Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time for the sheath superlatives of the night.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
That was a picture of Parker Porter.
Oh, my God.
Current UFC fighter, Parker Porter.
Cut this man right fucking now.
You're fired.
Get out of here.
Parker Porter looks like he could use some sheath underwear. So go to sheathunderwear.com, use promo code COFFEEANDKOs, get 20% off your entire purchase. They are the best underwear in the world. And people like Parker Porter will not be chafing this summer because they'll be wearing Sheath underwear, which help prevent chafing. You know, your balls will thank you later. Greatest underwear in the world. Make sure you go check them out. It's that time. Sheath superlatives of the night. And this was a tough card to give superlatives to, I feel. Well, maybe one of them. It was a tough card to give superlatives to. I struggled a little bit with it. But I'll go first, and then we'll just kind of go around. So we'll start with Jacked on Caffeine. You know, I originally had Mearshart. I thought it was a great performance. But then after seeing Robert Whittaker, he's definitely the most deserving Jacked on Caffeine performance of the night. He didn't get a finish. That head kick he landed on Gastelum, how Gastelum did not get knocked out from that was just incredible alone. That was one of the most flush head kicks I've seen in a while. Nasty, but from beginning to end, he didn't miss a beat. The wrestling was good. The striking was good. The pace was good. Everything about the performance was great. Best performance on the card, hands down, wasn't even close. Robert Whittaker gets the Jacked on Caffeine performance of the night, which I know that he's going to be ecstatic about when we tag him in it on, I don't know, Instagram or Twitter, whatever one we use.
It was a tough card to give a Jacked on Caffeine performance to. So I went out of the box. I said Andrei Arlovsky because people weren't expecting him to win tonight. He came out and did what he always does and beats a guy that, I mean, it's just easy work for him. Andrei Arlovsky's a veteran of the game. He can do this. So Jacked on Caffeine, I like he's the OG Pitbull, right? Was he Pitbull before Thiago Alves?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been Pitbull for a long time.
Now there's like 30 Pitbulls total. He is the father of the Pitbull, and he's still doing it. I love Andrei Arlovsky.
Great choice.
I'll go ahead. Jake Paul tonight, you know, he went out there and did exactly what I thought he should have done, you know, which is just completely start someone that's not a boxer or has been training in boxing. So I got to – I mean, fuck. What else am I supposed to fucking pick off of this card? I'm trying to save one for Aaron because I know who Aaron's going to pick. But it's just fuck. Actually, no. Are you going to Spino, Aaron? No. Are you not going to Spino?
No, I'm not
going. Okay, okay. Then I know who you're going. Then I'll go with Spino. But he fucking lost. Jake Paul knocked Ben Askren's ass out. I like seeing his fro just jiggle in the wind when he got hit in slow motion. I love that. I don't know. It's something about dudes with fros getting slept. It all started with Charlie Brenneman getting absolutely fucking blasted.
Charlie Brenneman was my substitute teacher.
Are you for real?
I swear to God, he was my damn substitute teacher.
That dude got fucking blasted so many times in the UFC.
I know.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
He was my substitute teacher in school. His brother is the athletic director for my high school.
That's
and,
crazy.
Yeah, and so he actually went to the college here. Like, that's where he went to school.
Oh, wow.
So he was, like, a big wrestler and everything. The one thing I never understood about Charlie Brenneman was his nickname was the Spaniard. The dude's not even Spanish. It made no sense to me. Yeah. I just never forget that. And then there was some kid that said, what would you do if I fought you? And he said, that's the last thing you'd ever do. And I wanted to tell my buddy, like, pull up the Anthony Johnson head kick clip.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I think a young testosterone-fueled teenage Kieran would have definitely wanted that smoke. feel like a gust of wind and he'll get rocked. Probably gets rocked shaving. I don't know. Just shaving his face gets all wobbly. No. yeah, Jake Paul. Jacked on Caffeine performance of the night. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah. I'll give it to Jacob Malkoon. It was a good night for the Whittaker fam. Both Whittaker team members ended up winning. Malkoon just Al Hassan in the first 2 minutes had a couple shots that, you know, wobbled Malkoon and looked like could have put him away, but Malkoon fought exactly how he needed to, and at 4-1 fought like a veteran, like just took him down, controlled him, almost had that +2,000 submission, which I was just waiting to celebrate that cash. It didn't come in, so I lost $20 on it, but oh well. He almost had that guillotine like 3 different times, and it looked like Alisson wanted to go out, but either way, Malkoon 30-27. He can beat a lot of one-dimensional guys doing that. So I'm excited to see. He could really end up being kind of like Bilal Muhammad of this division, I think, eventually. Like, where he beats these guys who aren't supposed to really be in the UFC or in the top 20 in the division, but no one above that.
Yeah. Also, so. I want to switch my pick now because I thought you were going to pick Mearshart. So I'll shout out to GM3. coming back from that embarrassing loss to Khamzat. Looked good tonight. Went out there.
Two embarrassing losses in a row, really.
Who did you
lose to? The Heinisch loss, got overhanded in, too.
Yeah.
Two bad losses in a row. I love GM3. Seat.
Yeah. Shout out to GM3. Solid performance.
So we're going to do espresso shot a little bit different because this one is pretty tough. So I'm going to say I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and we're just going to say it out loud and see what we come up with. All right.
Okay. Hold on. I got to find
something. I said espresso shot of the night.
Yeah. The best shot of the night.
Okay. Got mine.
All right. Because we're doing this because I know this is a difficult one. We might all have the same one. We'll see.
I don't know. I was going
to be like, by shot, do you mean it has to be a punch? Because I was going to be like, can it be an espresso crank of the neck?
Sure. You can do whatever.
Whatever your heart desires.
Whatever your heart desires, Josh. That's what it desires.
All right, I'm ready.
The world is your oyster. All right, here we go. 1, 2, 3, Jake Paul.
It's got to be Jake Paul.
Yeah, Jake Paul had the best shot of the whole night.
Sadly, in all of tonight's sports action, the cleanest shot landed all night was Jake Paul's right hand on Ben Askren. I'm sorry. 100%. It really was. Tonight fucking sucked. I'm like if it's not that, it's a nut shot from Romanov.
Yeah, I was about to say Juan Espino's nut shot was pretty solid.
That was probably the most impactful one.
It was a sneaky one. Yeah. And in the fight, too.
I didn't think I could pick Jake Paul, so I was, GM3. it was such a tough night of fights that I was like, Gerald Mearshart, he deserves.
How about a little love for Tony Gravely over Jake Paul, guys? Come on.
When you fight Anthony Berchek on the first fight of the night, I'm sorry. I got to give it to the YouTuber.
And it wasn't better than Jake Paul.
It wasn't.
Other shot was better than Jake Paul tonight. I'm sorry.
I will say this, man. The amount of shit talk you're about to hear from 12-year-olds on the MMA community.
I know.
Or boxing fans on the MMA community. But the thing about boxing fans is, listen, for all my MMA guys out there, if anyone says any shit about MMA compared to boxing because Ben Askren got stretched by a YouTuber, just tell them the biggest draw in boxing right now is a YouTuber. That's all you have to say. That's all you have to say. Yeah. End of discussion right there. But that's good God. True. Yeah, it was Jake Paul's night, and it's his world. We're all just living in it. Biggest draw in boxing.
And he's got a lot of money.
I'll tell you what, though. I want to get y'all's opinions on this. Conor McGregor goes out there and loses to Dustin Poirier. Do y'all see him taking that fight?
Yes.
I see it happening. I see him taking it.
Why wouldn't he make money?
I don't know. I'm taking it.
We talked about him and like The Rock or him and Mark Wahlberg. I'd be interested in that.
Guys, I know who I really want to see Jake Paul fight next.
Get laid on me.
Fucking Nick Newell. I need to see it.
Oh my God.
I need to see it. I gotta see it.
What does Jake Paul
strap a glove on that nub and let's fucking put him in there?
Does Jake Paul take an MMA fight against Nick Newell because maybe he doesn't know who Nick Newell is?
Hey, I'll be honest. I'm probably favoring Jake Paul in that fight. He's big. He's big, and actually, he does have somewhat of a wrestling background, so it's not like he's a complete novice as far. But Nick, I mean, Nick shit.
He's a 12-6.
Nick Newell has fought everybody. Right. He's fought everyone.
He's been fucked up by a lot of people, too. Literally someone that can't defend the right hand. I'm putting that nub up there, bro. I'm playing. I got Newell by spinning back step. That's it.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a super back stump for Newell.
Super back stump. 12-6 stumps for Newell.
God, you guys are awful.
Over stump. An overstump. A left overstump.
Decaf performance of the night.
These jokes.
This breakdown show.
I gotta go here. Razak Alhassan, when he lost to Munir Laziz, that was like, okay, you know, Munir Lazzez might be a pretty good fighter. And then he got destroyed by Worley Alves.
Yeah, he's not
so good. And
Rezaq didn't he also get he lose to Chaos Williams, right?
And then he lost to Chaos Williams, and he lost another fight after. He's lost three in a row. But and then Phil Hawes beats Jacob Malkoon in 18 seconds. I thought that was going to be the result tonight. I thought Rezaq Alhassan was going to end him in, you know, the first minute. And now he's
looking that way.
He looks so bad and terrible that I don't know what to do with him. I don't know what you do with Rezaq Alhassan. A lot of people can beat that guy. Decaf. Yeah. You know, I was underwhelmed and just decaffeinated from the whole thing.
Decaf performance of the night for me is the judges. Jessica Penne, first off, I can't stand 99% of the girls off of that show, that season of Tough. I mean, Angela Hill, Felice Herrig, Jessica Penne, Beck Rawlings, Randa Marcos, Rose, Carla Esparza, I don't mind. Yeah, I love Rose. Yeah, like Rose and Carla Esparza are the only ones that I can really tolerate.
Rose is cool until last week.
Yeah, Rose is cool until last week. I mean, shit. Fucking 2021, talk about
Christ, man.
Yeah, heel turn. She's turned heel. Honestly.
Does she have corona? Because that's some brain fog to say that shit.
We're talking about someone that is with someone that could be her father. But I don't think the decision making for her is too crisp. But decision making, I gotta go with the judges. I really don't know how Jessica Penne won that fight. Also, in that third round, I thought Espino won the majority of that round. Yes. Tracy Cortez, I'm all for Tracy Cortez winning. Fuck. Anyway, other than that, it's probably gotta be the judges and Ben Askren. I mean, shit. I think he might be a winner tonight. 500K for 60 something seconds of work
to wear one punch.
Yeah, to wear one hard punch. I mean, tough. That's
there's a guy good. There's a guy like in Vegas that lets people kick him in the nuts for like $20 as hard as they can.
Yeah, I'm fucking with that. You know, I don't know. I'll go judges though. You know, I'll take it easy on Ben Askren. He got whooped by a YouTuber and is gonna have to see that in every tweet response that he has from now on until eternity. So, but he dealt with a knee well, so I'm sure he'll be okay.
Aaron,
I'll be a tough grader tonight. I'll give it to Gastelum, actually, just because I kind of feel like Gastelum, like he comes into every single fight. He's like the bad boyfriend who's like, I've changed now. This is where I'm starting over. This is the beginning of my career. Like I'm getting up. He's like, oh, I beat Ian Heinisch now. Like, I'm back, baby. Like, here we go. Like, I'm going to do it all. And, like, we're going to have to do, like, I don't know. I just think that Kelvin Gastelum needs to accept that he needs to get some discipline, cut down to 170, and make a real run at the welterweight division, because that's the only division where he's going to be able to beat the top guys, because he won't be able to use his wrestling at the 185 division against any of the top guys.
Too big.
And he's too small. And it's just like, I just think he got an extra 50K tonight for fight of the night, but that should all be going to Whitaker, because Whitaker just painted a perfect masterpiece and added the perfect canvas in Gastelum, because Gastelum has a chin made of iron for another 2 or 3 years till it gets cracked.
Hey, Aaron, I know you're not going to like this, but from a technical aspect, I got to tell you this. Darren Till wrote the book on how to stop Kelvin Gastelum's attack. Listen to me. Let me explain it from a technical aspect. You crowd him whenever he tries to launch in for that 1-2. You go in with clinch. Robert Whittaker did it with wrestling. Jack Hermanson did it with an Imanari roll. Darren Till figured that out from watching the Israel. I know you don't like him. But that, honestly,
he figured it out in his split decision win over Kelvin Gastelum after he got roasted by Israel.
Me and you know that was not a split decision.
That was a split decision. Neither guy deserved to win that fight.
Come on, man.
Darren Till is wolf tickets as wolf tickets come. And the only reason he stays relevant is he has a good meme game and he has a funny like accent. And people like his Miley Cyrus tattoo on his arm.
I'm telling you.
He wrote the book. Two in the top 10 does Darren Till beat? Nobody.
Everyone. I'm on the Darren Till hype train.
Everyone.
You think Brunson gives him trouble?
I think we already saw that one.
Yeah. Listen, I thought he looked
gave, he gave Robert Whittaker a better fight than Kelvin Gastelum did.
He definitely
and
did.
And Cannonier.
Right. He gave him a better fight than Jared Cannonier did.
That's why Kelvin Gastelum needs a cut to welterweight. Kelvin Gastelum, DKF performance of the night.
You're a hater.
I would say Darren Till, but he keeps avoiding fighting because he knows what's gonna happen when he fights again.
We'll see. I don't think Darren Till's championship caliber, but I think he's solid.
He's not even top 10 caliber. Darren Till's wall tickets.
Oh, man. That's my boy. You're hurting, you're hurting my heart.
Wolf tickets. Wolf tickets, baby.
All right. My decaf performance of the night. I'm not taking it easy on Ben Askren. He sucked. That was embarrassing. I'm sorry.
He got paid more than all of the athletes combined on the UFC card.
Facts.
Yeah, it was more. Yeah, he was more embarrassing than any loss. I mean, Al Hassan's was really bad, but other than that, like, it was bad. It was as bad as it gets. I mean, he is technically a winner, but like, I mean, I don't know. Like, obviously, they got to hype up the fight, so like, he's gonna obviously say he thinks he's gonna win. I want to know if in his heart he actually thought he had a chance to win, or he's just like. Because, I mean, he showed up literally looking like me. Like, that is my body. That is my body type right there, right now. Ben Askren. Like, he showed up and just looked like he just didn't care. I think he knew. In his mind, he knew he was going to lose. He's got the toughest skin ever. I honestly think that he's like, okay, I'm going to lose. But guess what? My pockets are going to be fat after this.
I think
and he didn't give a shit.
He knew. I think he knew. Yeah, no, he definitely knew. He definitely knew losing was like a very realistic possibility, so I don't think he took it that hard. I do think that he actually trained his ass off for it, though, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I mean, the dude in the press conference yesterday or 2 days ago was calling himself a world-class athlete. He's like, although I may not look like it, I'm a world-class athlete. He's not. He's an extremely sparring. Technical wrestler. He's not a world-class athlete.
We saw his sparring, too, like – I think I have more head movement than that. Like he literally just left his head there the entire
time. That was going to happen. As soon as I got announced, you knew what was going to happen. You know what was going to happen. So, now Dylan Danis is actually calling him out.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, calling out who?
Jake Paul.
Oh, because Ben Askren and Dylan Danis, I think that would be – I think that they that Ben Askren would have a shot. But because Dylan Danis is garbage. No. You don't think so?
I think we're talking about coordination.
That'd be terrible.
It'd be something you don't want to see. And also, I think Dylan Danis has more room for improvement than Ben Askren does. Just not even close in my opinion.
I hope that's the last we see of funky Ben Askren.
I hope we get Dylan Danis versus Jake
Paul. No, I don't want to see that.
I want to see it. I want to see Dylan Danis get slept.
That's the end of Ben Askren. It's over for him.
I mean, shit. It was smart though. It was smart. I mean, dude came out of retirement, made 500 fucking grand to get knocked out by a YouTuber.
Now we need to build this brand up so that Jake Paul wants to fight one of us so we can make some money.
I'll fight Jake Paul.
I know. Yeah.
I'll fuck Jake Paul up. I'm dead serious. I'll fuck Jake Paul up. Y'all don't believe
me? I'm all for it.
I want to fight Brock Lesnar in a boxing match. That's my.
You're crazy.
That's my goal. In life. Brock Lesnar in a boxing match.
We got a triple champion MMA card next week. So how about that?
There we go.
And you won't be on the recap. So
I will not. I'll try to check in at least and say hello. Check in
with your phone and just like scream at us.
Yeah, through my 50 masks and my face shield.
There you go.
My cross.
Oh, you're gonna wear the mask?
I'm gonna wear a mask. Yes.
I'm wearing a mask.
I'm gonna wear like three masks, even though I'm vaccinated.
I think you should just share a drink with the person next to you.
I'll see what they think.
Just suck his dick.
But I can't wait. I can't wait to be there.
Thank God for next week's card. Yeah.
God.
I'll be honest. I think next week's card's a little overhyped, but I'll get into it on Monday when we talk about it.
Yeah. Outside of those top three, I think it's.
I think the entire main card's incredible, and the prelims
main card is good.
Prelims are a little weak, but I think they're getting by just the excitement of having fans back. But the entire main card, I think, for once, it's a main card that I'm more excited about than the prelims. Usually, I'm always more excited for the prelims, though. So.
I think that card has potential to be like absolutely insane or a huge sinker. Mm-hmm. Nothing in between. Nothing in between. I feel like it's either going to be insane or just, yeah.
Sure. My big prediction is there's going to be one title that changes hands. I don't know which one, but one title will change hands.
There's three heavy favorites, no?
Mm-hmm. The lightest favorite is Zhang at minus 200.
So that one's going to be interesting. Rose is a lot to deal with early. Rose especially is a lot since to she's coming with. There for America.
I personally, the one I'm leaning towards is Jessica Andrade defeating Valentina Shevchenko.
I'm telling you right now, if that happens,
I'm saying.
I'm stripping naked on the recap show. I don't give a fuck. Andrade, I'm going crazy.
Andrade has a lot of ways she can win that fight, I think. And I think a little bit of the blueprint started to get written by, first of all, by Nunes, but also by Jennifer Maya. I think that Andrade can replicate a lot of it. And Andrade being a currently a plus 315, I just think that Shevchenko's getting to a point in her career where she's getting a little bit maybe complacent. And her main training partner is her sister, Antonina. Antonina is trash. Hot trash. So at some point, maybe that starts to affect Valentina too. And I don't know. Jessica Andrade can put anybody away, and she has plenty of gas now at 125, not killing herself. BJJ black belt, but we'll see next week.
You guys know Antonina's married to their coach.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 50 something.
Yep.
Valentina is one of our friend's favorite fighters, and we just joke with them that they have a polygamous relationship.
I'm sure.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's a great time. I just want to take this show off the rails. Oh my god!
It's been off the rails. It's been
straight cancer from pillar to post.
And that's why there's a possibility a brand change coming up because I think it just fits perfectly. 100%. All right, guys, that's gonna do it for this show. Make sure you check us out on all podcasting platforms at Coffee and KOs. You can also check us out on all social media platforms at Coffee and KOs 1. Go subscribe on YouTube. And a big preview show coming out on Monday. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And we'll see you all next time.